Have you ever heard of a quinkin? How about a jugabinna? A jingdaring? Tarawara? Mingawin? Putikan? Dulaga? Gulaga? Or a thulaga? Do the names Nukuna, Wawi, Pangarlangu, Jimbra, or Changara mean anything to you? Or what about Yawi? Welcome to Strange and Unexplained with me, Daisy Egan. I am an actor and a writer, but not the Dr. Seussie kind who writes in manic rhyming riddles with nonsense words, sometimes using vaguely racist imagery. No, the Dulaga, Gulaga, Jimbra, and Yawi are real names for a storied creature of the Australian continent. The names are Aboriginal words, as the creature's origin is with the Indigenous people of Australia. So put on your side-brimmed hat, and I'll put on my Australian accent, which I know you all love so much, and let's travel to the outback to find the elusive Australian Bigfoot, sometimes known as the Yowie. Where does Yowie come from? Whether you are in Queensland and hear about the quinkin, or in New South Wales where the jugabinna roams, or if you refer to the cryptid by any of its many other names, stories of the tall, hairy humanoid creature have been told for thousands of years. Depictions of the hairy man or the Yowie appear in ancient Australian cave paintings. Some believe the Yowie and its counterparts are an extinct or officially undiscovered species that has been hiding out in the outback all these centuries, giving humans an occasional titillating glimpse and stoking the fires of folklore. But why does such an old, well-established legend have more names than a gay pride acronym has letters? Well, it might surprise you to learn that not all Aborigines are the same. While most Aboriginal cultures seem to share the Yowie and many of the descriptions of the creature are similar, some details of how it looks and acts do vary from tribe to tribe. For example, the Kamilaroi, one of the four largest indigenous tribes in Australia around New South Wales and southern Queensland, define the Yowie as a spirit that roams at night. Kind of vague, but ethereal and a definite departure from the hairy ape man many of the descriptions conjure. Before European settlers colonized Australia, there were around 600 Aboriginal populations with diverse language groups. Aborigines share their knowledge, cultural values, traditions, and laws through customs such as ceremonial body painting, storytelling, song, and dance. So it makes sense that over so many generations, stories would survive that tell of a creature maybe bearing similar descriptions and certainly bearing different names, depending on which language set the legend came from. And then, as white settlers learned of these legends, they would be carried on in whatever form and with whatever name they had when the colonists learned of them. It seems likely that this is how the term Yowie and its close cousin Yahoo came to be among the most common terms for the Bigfoot of Australia. A 2001 book by Robert Holden called Bunyips, Australia's Folklore of Fear, contains the 1842 account of a European settler describing the creature known in this passage as the Yahoo. Quote, "The natives of Australia believe in the Yahoo. This being they describe as resembling a man of nearly the same height, with long white hair hanging down from the head over the features. The arms, as extraordinarily long, furnished at the extremities with great talons, and the feet turned backwards, so that, on flying from man, the imprint of the foot appears as if the being had travelled in the opposite direction. Altogether, they describe it as a hideous monster of unearthly character and ape-like appearance." End quote. Well, okay, tell us how you really feel. Not too flattering for the creature of many names, but also, backwards feet? Why on earth? And how on earth? As to whether the Yowie or Yahoo is a real creature or just a character of folklore, the truth may be somewhere in the middle. The creature seems deeply connected to an aspect of Aborigine culture known as the Dreaming, or Tjukurpa. AboriginalArtAustralia.com describes the Dreaming as representing, quote, the time when the ancestral spirits progressed over the land and created life and important physical geographic formations and sites, end quote. The site goes on to talk about how the Dreaming is an Aboriginal philosophy, quote, based on the interrelation of all people and all things. The past of the spirit ancestors, which live on in the legends, are handed down through stories, art, ceremony, and songs. The Dreaming explains the origin of the universe and workings of nature and humanity. It shapes and structures life through the regulation and understanding of family life, the relations between the sexes, and obligations to people, land, and spirits. End quote. So, how did the being make its way from the Dreaming into contemporary folklore and storytelling? Well, unsurprisingly, perhaps, it took the white man to take the idea and spin it into something for worldwide consumption. The Kamilaroi's Yowie, or spirit that roams at night, is, as I mentioned, one abstract departure from the hairy man idea of the cryptid. But as the legend grows and exists in the minds of white settlers for longer, it begins to solidify in the more primate-based interpretation of the creature. There is a reference to a creature called Yahoo in Jonathan Swift's famous 1726 satirical adventure novel Gulliver's Travels. In this context, Yahoos are legendary creatures resembling human beings. Swift, who was a known critic of the politics and culture of his time, used the characters to comment on the state of Europe. Some argue that it was Swift who coined the word Yahoo in Gulliver's Travels. But, knowing what we know about Aboriginal languages and lore, it seems less likely that Swift coined the term, and more so that he borrowed it, or maybe bastardized the word, changing it from Yowie to Yahoo. This factoid is only important insofar as it's another example of a white person being like, look at this thing I have discovered, while a bunch of other people are like, we've known about that for years, bro. The name may be based on a Darug word, an Aboriginal tribe, whose word Yowie means demon or spirit. Or it may come from the Yuin tribe, where Yowie means a large hairy creature. In Swift's tale, Yahoos are filthy and unpleasant, quote, a brute in human form, end quote. He writes about the Yahoos as primitive and fixated on pretty stones, his way of representing the materialism and elitism he found pervasive in Britain. Even today, the dictionary definition of Yahoo is, quote, a crude, brutish, or obscenely coarse person, end quote. So it would seem as though Gulliver's Travels influenced contemporary awareness of and use of the term, even if our current usage of the word has been wholly divorced from its Aboriginal roots and has come to mean a largely obsolete internet search engine. But we know the Yowie was around way before Jonathan Swift was writing to piss off British elites by suggesting they eat their young and such. In other colonized examples of cryptid lore, Daniel Boone once claimed to kill a hairy ape-like creature in the American wilderness that he called a Yahoo. Squatchable.com says, quote, in 1782, Boone claimed to have had an encounter with the Yahoo while scouting for game and potential settlement sites in the Kentucky wilderness. According to Boone, he heard strange growling noises and upon investigating came face to face with a massive hairy creature standing over 7 feet tall. Boone described the creature as having a human-like face with wild, piercing eyes. One wonders, if he killed the creature, why he didn't display it somewhere. Like, if you killed a Bigfoot, wouldn't you take its corpse into town and be like, look at what I got? This is where we start to see overlap between the Yowie and the Sasquatch or Bigfoot of North America. To hear Australian historian Graham Joyner tell it, the Yahoo was actually just an undiscovered type of marsupial that was extinct by the early 1900s. That would be one big marsupial. Thank you. So what is a yaoi? The yaoi, or whatever other name it goes by, is fairly consistent in its description across tribes and generations since the colonial settlers began documenting it. Some descriptions are more outlandish than others or contain a few unfamiliar details, like the one in Holden's book with the backwards feet and so on. But most descriptions of the yaoi after the 1700s describe it as hairy, ape-like, and most even call it a human or humanoid creature. We heard Jonathan Swift's impressions of his yahoo, but Swift was, of course, writing a character to make a point. Holden, on the other hand, was quoting the native people of Australia in his demonic-sounding description of the creature, summing it up as, quote, a hideous monster of an unearthly character and ape-like appearance, end quote. One description, given in an interview from the Australian news magazine show The Catalyst in 2002, describes the yaoi as, quote, a bipedal ape-like animal that is hairy. It is anywhere between 6 foot and 2 inches and 12 feet tall, 2.1 meters to 3.6 meters. Their feet are much bigger than a human foot, but yaoi tracks are inconsistent in their shape and number of toes. Their noses are wide and flat. Some describe yaoi as being shy and timid, while others say they are violent and aggressive creatures, end quote. An ape-like face is again a common feature in descriptions and in the various images of the yaoi, as is longish orange-brown hair, or black hair, or white. Many descriptions claim the figure is shy but can turn violent. I mean, same here, Bob. One interesting detail that comes up again and again is that there are apparently two types of yaoi. There is a shorter version that gets up to about 5 feet tall, and a taller variety that can get upwards of 10 feet, or, as we heard in the quote above, as tall as 12 feet. 12 feet tall is huge, stranger. Imagine a tall man with another tall man on his shoulders, wearing a long raincoat, trying to get into an R-rated movie. Anyway, how can anything that tall that has existed as long as the yaoi supposedly has be so elusive? Maybe the short yaois are more common and therefore easier to miss? I don't know. Regardless of height, the yaoi is hairy enough that it has been compared to Bigfoot or the Yeti, although it is also different from the Yeti or other cryptids like Nessie in that, at least according to a 1976 article from the Australian Women's Weekly, which says, quote, the yaoi prefers the trees and undergrowth where it is warm and dry, end quote. How did the 1970s women of Australia know what the yaoi preferred? Your guess is as good as mine. According to yaoihunters.com, a website dedicated to all things yaoi, the creatures are omnivorous. Again, how we know this is anyone's guess, but as humans are omnivorous, except for actresses in LA who only drink the Halle Bieber smoothie, I guess it stands to reason. Yaoi Hunters also reports that yaoi smell like wet horse or rotten eggs or sulfur or rotting flesh or burning electrical stuff. So, you know, all the nicest things. They have also been reported to have large eyes that glow red or yellow in the moonlight. Kind of like the Mothman, I guess? Some sources believe that yaoi push off with their lead foot instead of the back foot like humans, which is oddly specific for an animal that is apparently extremely elusive. They say yaoi have been seen alone or in groups of 4 to 5. They communicate using grunts, whistles, growls, and wails. When they clap their hands, it sounds like wood slapping. They are not strictly nocturnal or daytime hunters. Their footprints and hair have been found around triangular structures made out of saplings. All of this, I assume, has been gleaned from the many, many sightings that have been reported over the 2 centuries of recorded yaoi sightings. Yaoi sightings abound. There are reported sightings of the yaoi as recently as 2023. Reports of sightings can be found all over the internet, but there is a comprehensive database of yaoi sightings organized by state at the Australian Yaoi Research website and the Yaoi Sightings News website, which is where I got most of this information. Also, if all this sounds familiar, it's because it is. These descriptions are almost exactly like descriptions of the North American Bigfoot. The first recorded sighting of a Yowie occurred somewhere around 1795, and there have been around 3,000 sightings since then. Remember, though, that official records of Yowie sightings were probably first made by colonists, and that there have been countless sightings by indigenous people that may never have been written down, but only passed on by oral tradition prior to and since 1795. According to the data, for some reason, sightings of the Yowie are their highest in the winter months, which are the summer months of June, July, and August for those of us in this hemisphere. And according to a number of maps which break sightings down by area, the largest number of sightings are concentrated in New South Wales and Queensland. In November 1882, Australian Town and Country Journal published a story about the naturalist James McCooey, who claimed to see a Yowie on the southern coast of New South Wales. He described what he saw as 5 foot tall, with very long black hair that was more reddish in the chest and throat area, and, quote, small restless eyes that were partially covered with matted hair, end quote. According to YowieHunters.com, the 1800s were abuzz with sightings of the creature all over Australia. This is when the first written narrative accounts of alleged Yowie sightings start to emerge, as newspapers and magazines began writing about reports of white people's encounters, which, I'd like to point out, came after Gulliver's Travels had been published. So it seems people only started claiming to see this creature after a very similar one had been described in a popular work of fiction. In most of these records, the Yowie is nearly always described as an ape or ape-like man. This is consistent with the descriptions of the Yowie throughout history. YowieHunters.com also tells us that with this uptick in reports of the Yowie, quote, naturalists of the time were debating if Australia had its own indigenous primate, end quote. Maybe it's true that naturalists were debating about the Yowie. I don't know. I just read it on their website, which honestly kind of seems like it was written by a middle schooler. In 1868, reported sightings in the Maitland area led to a piece in the local Empire newspaper asking if the Yowie are some kind of Australian version of the African gorilla. The naturalists may have been debating, but most newspapers in the 1800s were running with the gorilla theory. Is it any wonder, then, that from 1870 to 1894, a large influx of reports of ape-like animal sightings flooded newspapers in and around New South Wales? I will try not to dwell on the fact that the website capitalized reported sightings and just move on. Who am I? The grammar police? The century turned and sightings of the Yowie continued to abound. In Candello, New South Wales, in 1900, a prospector by the name of Mr. Michael Cunningham reported the first sighting I found of a female Yowie. There may have been other lady Yowies reported before this, but I haven't read about them. According to AustralianYowieResearchCenter.com, Cunningham said his camp had been visited by, quote, a 5 foot tall, young looking, brownish haired, small breasted ape woman, end quote, which is my dating profile description. Just kidding. I don't date. Cunningham later explained that he was seated at a campfire having lunch and making a damper when the sighting happened. The creature emerged from the bushes a few yards from him. The website says, quote, she looked inquisitive, and Mr. Cunningham motioned her to come forward, but she just stood where she was. He then picked up the damper and threw her a large piece, which landed at her feet. She bent down, picked it up, and put it to her mouth and began chewing some of it. Then, still holding on to the remaining damper, she bolted off into the bush, end quote. Stranger, I need to let you know right now that I have no idea what a damper is. Okay, I looked it up and it appears to be some kind of Australian settler's skillet bread. No wonder she ran off because, not gonna lie, the pictures of this bread look dry. She probably needed a drink. According to the Australian Yowie Research Centre, the Bexley district of Sydney still hears talk of a hairy beast that once terrorised the inhabitants of that area in the early 1900s, back when the city bordered the Royal National Park, which was covered in thick scrubland. People of that area were scared enough that the Yowie would come into their homes that they shuttered their doors and windows at night. This community had no debate about the existence of the Yowie, but knew the creature had a fondness for peering in windows inquisitively. On the shoreline of Waganga Inlet in 1900, the discovery of large, hairy man footprints caused a stir among locals. Some claim the prints were made by a 7-foot-tall, hairy female Dulagard. Another female. Cool. Discoveries of foot, hand, and knee impressions supposedly left by large-sized hominids when crouching to drink have been, and still are, found on remote coastal and inland mountain creeks since the first years of settlement. Are they all purported to be Yowie tracks, or could they just be the tracks of thirsty people? One entry in the archives of AustralianYowieResearchCenter.com tells of a 1900 sighting. Quote, Miss M. Hodge of Bathurst related an experience of her own to this author in December 1979, which concerned the Johnson's Hole area. When a little girl in 1900, Miss Hodge lived on her parents' property, which stood opposite the hole. Aborigines thereabouts never swim in the hole, and even today, horses and dogs also will not remain near the hole at night. Miss Hodge said she once saw a horseman who had been mustering sheep ride all the way out of the hills, white as a sheet. He told her parents that he had seen a large baboon-like man, a giant which had terrorized him. Miss Hodge herself saw a man-sized black-haired Yowie sitting under a rock near her home one day. Old-timers often discuss the possibility that the creatures might inhabit caves that lie in the hill surrounding the Hill End Township. End quote. The Yowie had a moment in 1900, it seems. Reports like this one of the hairy man and his like rolled in from all over. Monstropedia mentions a 1912 encounter with a Yowie in which a man on horseback saw, quote, a strange creature on all fours drinking from a creek. The animal rose up on its hind feet to a height of 7 feet and looked at Summerall. Then it disregarded the horseman, finished its drink, and peacefully walked away into nearby woods. The following day, Summerall's friend Sydney Wheeler Jeffcott rushed to the scene of the sighting and discovered an abundance of handprints and footprints. Jeffcott described the footprints as human-like but huge and having only 4 toes per foot. He said he made plaster casts of the tracks and turned them in to a local university, but there is no record of a scientific analysis being rendered, end quote. But not all the sightings were as innocuous as this one. Australian Yowie Research Centre says that word had it that folks in the Kerry Valley Bow Desert country in the northwest of Lamington Plateau had lived in terror of the Wallumbin giants for generations. These giants were described as, quote, big, muscular beings who would often attack Aboriginal camps, wielding their huge wooden or stone clubs and hand axes. Also known as the Gumund Talanbana, the giant men who tower over the trees, end quote. There were stories of attacks by small hordes of these beasts. In some tales, they foisted massive rocks, quote, killing and carrying off their victims to feed upon them in their mountain lairs, end quote. So, I guess in this context, omnivore includes human meat. I mean, I guess why not? We are, after all, made of meat. I assume there are many more such tales of the Yowie appearing here and there throughout the century, but there does seem to be a dip in reporting until the 1970s, when Yowie activity picked up again. In October 1976, men working in the Googong Dam claimed to see a 6-foot-tall, hairy, dark gray beast. They described it as having a head that merged with its shoulders and no neck to speak of. Sounds like they might have had a run-in with Big Ed from 90 Day Fiancé. In 77, residents on Oxley Island reported screaming animal noises, and that makes me think there were some screaming animals around. I don't know that I would have assumed that these noises were made by the Yowie, but okay. What matters is Rex Gilroy, an Australian natural science researcher and Yowie enthusiast, thought they may be Yowie-related and decided to investigate. The noises were heard at night, and those who heard them were convinced the sounds belonged to a strange creature seen by Mrs. Jeff G. Mrs. G, as I will call her because there does not seem to be a record of her own first name that wasn't her husband's name, looked out her kitchen window to see a large, black, furry creature on their jetty waving its arms around. Mrs. G then did something that tells me we are very different people. She went to investigate. But before she could get far, apparently her phone rang, and by the time she got back to looking for the creature, it had finished its interpretive dance and was gone. A few days later, Mrs. G went outside to find the 1,000-gallon water tank by her back door had been knocked over. Her son and his friends allegedly found footprints in the field that they say didn't match any of the known animals in the area. It's possible the prints were made by a bear walking on its hind legs, or it was a yowie. Those were the only options. Yowie researcher Rex Gilroy, visiting the G's to investigate, definitely confirmed for the locals what Mrs. G saw was a yowie. How he could be so sure, I don't know. In 1977, a former senator of Queensland claimed to see a yowie on a school trip. He was on the school trip, not the yowie, just for clarification. He described the yowie as looking like Chewbacca and said that it was more than 10 feet tall. In the 90s, there were more wild yowie sightings. In 1994, Tim the Yowie Man came on the scene. Tim's website tells us, quote, "Tim the Yowie Man was so named after spotting a yowie in the rugged snowy mountains of Australia. He has since carved out a curious career as mystery investigator and cryptonaturalist, the study of strange and hidden phenomena, and is an authority on paranormal and unusual phenomena in Australia. Tim has an extraordinary enthusiasm for all things spooky and has dedicated the past 30 years to travelling the length and breadth of Australia in search of haunted and unexplained happenings. He acts as a location and historical advisor for international television programs on unusual phenomena and has featured in documentaries about Australian and international mysteries. Tim has hosted a national travel show and is a journalist, travel writer, history and ghost tour guide." End quote. I am comforted to know Tim is an authority on paranormal and unusual phenomena. Tim dresses like a park ranger and makes videos about ghosts and other stuff beyond yowie sightings and really seems to lean into the idea that they aren't telling us everything. Tim also leads travel writing workshops and has published 3 books. Who says you can't do it all? A couple of years after Tim's life-changing yowie sighting, a couple on vacation from Newcastle reported seeing a shaggy creature walking upright with no neck and disproportionately long arms. This creature apparently stood around 7 feet tall. Crikey. Then in August of 2000, a bushwalker from Canberra named Steve Piper reported seeing a strange bipedal creature in the Bindabella Mountains. This is the same area where Tim the Yowie Man had his sighting 6 years earlier, but Steve Piper caught his sighting on tape. The comment on Steve's Yowie video on YouTube says, quote, "This footage of an alleged Yowie was filmed in the Bindabella Mountains region of Australia by Steve Piper. It shows what appears to be a Yowie with a foot injury or a club foot," end quote. I don't know how anyone came to that conclusion from a 44-second video of what could easily be a man in a gorilla costume strolling through the woods. I didn't have time to make out a limp, let alone make a medical diagnosis of clubfoot. Some cryptid hunters are so ableist. Stranger, remember how in the late 60s people were always taking pictures and video of Bigfoot, and then all of those pictures and videos were debunked and it was just some guy in a Wookiee suit or something? There was even an article in Indy 100 in 2023 that talked about how AI debunked the photos definitively. Sorry, conspiracy theorists, AI strikes again, ruining lives at a breakneck pace. It's almost like a conspiracy. Reports of the Yowie didn't slow down after the Piper video. In March of 2011, a Yowie sighting was reported in the Blue Mountains west of Sydney. This one was also captured on video, and there are pictures of the footprints. After this, in the modern age of video and social media, there is an avalanche of video sightings on YouTube. In a couple, the Yowie is so visible, in spite of the camera being shaky and accidentally losing sight of the creature, that you can clearly see the fucking Halloween costume being worn by the cameraman's pal Gerald, or whoever. The internet is lousy with these hack videos, but are they all fake, or does the true documentarian just get buried under the ham-fisted attempts of these wanton fame hustlers? In 2013, a music videographer claims to have seen one north of the city of Bexhill crossing the road at night as he was driving home from a job in the city of Eltham. He claims the creature jumped the barbed wire fence before pausing at the end of the road and crossing two lanes of traffic while shielding its eyes from the headlights. He described the creature as having a solid build, large and lanky arms and legs, and says it ran quickly, jumped the fence with no issues, had a stooped posture, high shoulders, small head, and looked like it had no neck. I think it is encouraging in this case that even though this guy was a videographer, he did not capture video. It makes it feel spontaneous and honest. I don't know if what he saw was a yaoi, but I think he saw something. Of course, I don't know what kind of refreshments were available at his music video job. Maybe he hit the jazz lettuce hard before he headed home. Still, at least it's not a video of a man in an Elmo suit. Some other reports in the area include two fishermen who saw two large ape-like creatures that threw rocks at them, and a young girl saw one while picking wildflowers that she described as a 7-foot-tall man with tan hair watching her. Girl, run away! Didn't you see Frankenstein? It seems to me that the more recent sightings claim to be increasingly violent. A man claimed he was attacked in his bed by a 4-foot-tall ape-like creature covered in 5-inch-long bristly hair. He escaped the attack by punching the creature. But seriously, stranger, wouldn't there be more made of this sighting? Wouldn't the police have been called? Or shouldn't someone have at least alerted old Tim the Yowie Man? What makes for a recorded sighting? Are we just saying things now? Then, according to 9news.com in 2009, a 7-month-old puppy died, and some thought the Yowie was responsible. Quote, a brutal attack that left a puppy decapitated could be the work of the mythological Australian beast known as the Yowie, a researcher says. The 7-month-old puppy's head was ripped off in the attack, which occurred recently in the rural area of Darwin. Although the dog's owners believe dingoes were behind the attack, top-end Yowie investigator Andrew McGinn told the Northern Territory News a Yowie could be the culprit. The way the guy's dog was killed was typical of a Yowie, Mr. McGinn was quoted as saying, end quote. What a horrible incident. And so graphically reported on 9 News. Jeez, I know the adage, if it bleeds, it leads, but are they trying to traumatize people? Crikey. Sorry, I can't stop saying that. Also, Andrew McGinn really only comes up in relation to this specific incident. I don't know what his credentials are or how he came to be referred to as top-end Yowie investigator. I'm starting to question the journalistic integrity of 9news.com. Also, this contradicts the testimony of real Yowie investigator Tim the Yowie Man, who, when a man from a city near Brisbane claimed a Yowie stole several of his sheep, said Yowies are not known for those types of attacks. Quote, it is very unusual that a Yowie would go to an area where there are stock and attack at random. All reports are that a Yowie eats just what it needs to survive. Most stock losses I would put down to wild dogs or cats. End quote. And another claim that undercuts this violent Yowie narrative is the 2014 sighting in which a man said he came across one multiple times and even spoke to it slash them, trying to teach them English. I am more inclined to believe a story like this one from 2013, where two people who wished to remain anonymous were out fishing at 2 a.m. when they heard a strange and terrifying growl. One man cut his line and accidentally cut his fishing rod in half. He was in such a panic. and ran back to the car. As they drove away, their headlights illuminated something running across the bridge. They described it as having dark brown hair, like a dog's. In 2023, the Daily Telegraph reported on local Yowie sightings and quoted a Sydney-based Yowie researcher. Quote, researcher Paul Cropper said the recent sightings revealed some classic elements which provided a common thread linking many experiences by many people over many decades. The fact that this thing was heavy-set with long arms and a small head, these are classic traits, Mr. Cropper said. There is the valid question of why no one has run a Yowie down with a four-wheel drive, noted Mr. Cropper. But the fact remains that for well over 100 years, from early settlement to modern times, people have claimed to have seen the same thing. I've spoken to over 100 people who've seen a Yowie, and I feel they have had genuine experiences. End quote. And in spite of my skepticism, stranger, I am inclined to agree with Mr. Cropper. I don't know how so many people over so much time could all be lying. This is where cynicism breaks down, I guess. Whether it comes to alien aircraft sightings or the Yowie or some other bizarre phenomenon, when there are this many consistent reports, my faith in my fellow human overtakes my doubting nature. Maybe the really wild thing isn't that all these people saw a Yowie. Maybe it's that we just can't dismiss their claims outright. There will always be that seed of wonder that has us believing things that are strange and unexplained. Next time on Strange and Unexplained. For years, humans have flocked to parts of Arizona for the alleged magical healing qualities that lie underground there. And it's not just humans. Aliens also love Sedona and Phoenix. Maybe it's the vortices? Maybe it's just good PR. Strange and Unexplained is a production of Three Goose Entertainment with help from Grab Bag Collab. This episode was written by Eve Kerrigan and me, Daisy Egan, with research by Keely Hayes. Sound design and engineering by Jeff Devine. Music by Epidemic and Blue Dot Sessions. If you have an idea for an episode, head to our website, strangeandunexplainedpod.com, and fill out the contact form. I will write back. For more amazing content, join us at patreon.com/grabbagcollab, where for just $5 a month, you get all the Grab Bag exclusive shows, and for $8, you get those, plus Amber Hunt's Crimes of the Centuries and Strange and Unexplained early and ad-free. Grab Bag is an all-female and non-binary-owned profit-share network where our contributors get to keep ownership of their shows. We strive to give a platform to those who might not be able to land themselves on a bigger network. Who knows? Maybe you have a podcast idea you'd like to pitch to Grab Bag. We've got live recordings, watch parties, book clubs, and more. Why there's so much going on over at GrabBag, you'll wonder if we missed the memo on how capitalism works. Join me on Instagram at SNUPod, Daisy Egan, and GrabBag Collab, or head to the Facebook page to join in the conversation. If you like the show, please visit a sponsor with our unique code, give us a quick review and 5 stars, subscribe and download, and tell a friend. Stay strange.